Well, my name is Tyler Byrne, and this is Lo-Fi Lit. This is a podcast where I, Tyler Byrne, as I've said, I talk to writers, I talk to poets, I talk to people that I find interesting, that exist, that are crossing the intersection between the internet and literature. Today I'm talking to Kristen Coates from Twitter. They are a fan of, you know, Indie Lit. I see them tweeting at people. I see them enjoying other people's work. And I just had the idea, why don't I invite them on here and we have a little talk about who they are and where they come from. They are a very big supporter of my podcast, of Tyler Dempsey's podcast, of Sabrina's podcast, and just like anyone that's like trying to put out work, like they're very nice and very considerate and very cool. I find out on today's episode their background, how they were canceled, how they have gone through breast cancer, and they are now in remission. How they are a research assistant and a former person that worked in law. And I'm using that vaguely because I don't know, I don't really remember that part. But as an aside, one other thing, I do bring up back patio. This was recorded a month ago before all the back patio hoopla. A month ago, it was, I was just bringing it up back patio. It was like a random thing because I like back patio and I like the people that run it. And I kept bringing them up. It's funny how I record these a few weeks out. It's just funny how things can all turn around. And without that context, if you were to listen to this, you might think I'm taking shots at them. I'm not, because I couldn't see into the future. Anyways, my name's Tyler. This is Lo-Fi Lit. I hope you all enjoy the show. I've been working on this all night. Trying to do edits, put it together, package it all up, and send it out. I'm also working on a companion electronic zine that is to be joined kind of with a podcast. I will talk about that more later on. Enjoy the show, everyone. Slow Pilot, Kristen Coates. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm Kristen Coates. I'm from Twitter, and I definitely enjoy just kind of following around. I write as well, but so this is the year I'm going to be start like sending things out. But I'm a fan of the show, definitely.
Oh, thank you.
Of the pod, right? Like, you know, I think it's great to have the video component too, because it's
tough. You're also a fan of like Dempsey's and Sabrina's, I think.
Dempsey's is good. He's had it going for a while.
So have you always been into writing, like in high school and everything?
Yeah, I was on the Literary Magazine and like editorial board and all these things. Yes, but wow. People's writing was so bad then. It was like a suburban high school where I was at. And
so, what did you read in high school?
What did I read? I don't actually remember. Catcher in the Rye, and I want to reread it because someone in the scene reminds me of that one of the characters, I think, but I haven't read it in so long, and obviously, it's probably an unflattering comparison, but like. I have like nicknames sometimes for people who are online a lot, you know, who are in this scenes, right? Like it is one scene though. I think it's mostly just like different angles and parts of it, you know.
How'd you get into this scene? Like, so are you like a couple years ago, or when you went to college, what did you major in? Creative writing?
English. And I worked for an author, and I'm not mentioning his name. I'm trying to like get some distance, but it was like a really great experience in college. And he published with like indie presses, like Thought Catalog. I actually got to work with editors at Thought Catalog.
Wait, what? You worked with that Thought Catalog?
Like as a liaison, yeah, as like a freelance editor.
Oh shit.
Yeah, but I don't want to mention the author's name because just like I can't talk about it really.
Oh, that's okay. Is there like a law thing? I don't want to get you in trouble.
So there's an issue like NDAs, like legally.
Oh, wow.
So supposedly I signed an NDA, but even if I did or didn't, you know, it's just kind of a courtesy to not name drop and then like, because it was, I think we all have to like kill our literary father figures. It's not like a Harold Bloom thing. I know this like pertains to what I've seen with like Sam Pink being a literary figure. People feel like they have to kind of like compare against him. And I kind of feel like that with this person I worked with for a long time. I think there's a natural competitiveness that we have for people who've influenced us. So like I was exposed to like independent literature, like Atomic Books, you know, but it's different when you're kind of on a freelance editorial basis. And it's really fun, but there's this like compulsion I think writers have. Like I've always been writing, but it's really for myself, which is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Did you read like the old blogs, like Book Slut and like places like that?
A little bit, but I wasn't as immersed. How about you? So
yeah, I used like when I was like an undergrad, like well, my first year is like 2010, 2011. I used to read those sites, but I always thought those sites were so out of reach. I didn't really relate to them at all. I had no idea what people's ages were. I just thought like, oh, I'll never be on something like this. And then like HTML Giant, I still felt that was out of reach. Yeah, but I always read them. I always try to stay within that community in some way.
I remember like reading N+1 and Believer.
Oh yeah.
For a while.
Did you read McSweeney's?
Yeah, McSweeney's and Heartbreaking Works is Staggering Genius, Dave Eggers, and that was a huge shift, right? And I guess autofiction, like that's kind of any kind of like, I don't know how people describe autofiction, and I think the term's been used disparagingly a lot online because there's a scene around it that people like to poke fun at. Mm-hmm. But it's basically just give you the freedom to move beyond yourself. You know, so instead of marketing it as a memoir and lying and making yourself more interesting, you're writing autofiction, which gives you free license to add or subtract as you want to.
So how did you become an editor? Like not talking about this person that you know?
I was a research assistant. There's nothing publicly available to link me. I just don't want to like dis. And it kind of ends up being that way. So I actually decided not to work with them over a political issue, but I don't know if we want to get into politics, and I don't. But
okay.
Well, because I mean, yeah. Well, I guess politics is really central to what's going on in our world, like the new president, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in these situations constantly, I find, in the art world that we're in, mostly online. But not only.
I feel like some people are like a lot more left and some people are a lot more right. And I stopped, I don't caring as much as I used to when I was younger. Like when I was younger, I would like definitely not have associated with other people. But now I'm like, I'm less judgy and care more about writing and the quality of the stories. But I still like will stay away from someone that's hardcore right, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to me because I think that's kind of, I mean, you're going to have your beliefs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of I think it's personal too. If you person enough, you'll overlook.
How do you feel? What are your politics?
I don't know. I think like after Trump was inaugurated, I just saw a lot of people who I thought were kind of more mellow politically kind of just like dump. What? Like what they actually felt from my point of view, like drop the bit being like being really cool, tolerant people. And I won't name names, but like, I'm not following them now. And it was just like this holy war, they're winning the holy war and they don't have to use pronouns anymore. And they're split, they're you kind of what Musk is doing now. But like this whole idea, there's like this holy war. And I was like, whoa, I thought you were cool. Where did this come from? And then the mask went back on and now they're fine. And they're, but you kind of wonder, you know, so I think I was unsettled by, as a lot of people were, by the inauguration and the events, but also by like Gaza and how the left handled Gaza. So there's like a split there.
Yeah, there is.
So there's a lot of splits of opinion. And you, I think it's case by case at this point. Like if I think the person's like thoughtful and has like their own opinion, yeah, sure. If you disagree with me, that's fine. But if you're gonna, I guess, use any kind of clout to try to, I don't know, like, I guess when clout gets involved, it's more complicated. So like, what if a press, you know, that has all this ability to make or break your career.
Like Back Patio.
No.
Okay.
They have a lot. I mean, they're a very persuasive group of, and I love their books. Like every single book I've picked up by them is amazing. Like, you know, they're also fun to argue with.
Yeah, they're awesome. They always talk about peeing and stuff like that.
Yeah, constantly. I know.
Yeah. They're a bit absurdist. I like them.
No one else does that. So like, yeah, that's kind of like a segue to just kind of, you know, and they're open about being, you know, on the left. Yeah. And that's refreshing to have that space, honestly, among all the other kind of murky gray areas.
So about you, when do you become a research assistant into a freelance editor?
I worked with the same professor, author.
Okay. But where were you before that?
I was an English major. So I was, you know, I was an English major, and then I was like a top research assistant.
Oh.
And I went.
How do you become one of those?
I just like put a lot of time in. Like I'm.
So, like, where do you apply?
I'm fascinated by this person's writing. Like.
Oh.
And the career trajectory is interesting, and I you know, it kind of comes down to like probably off screen, you know. But even then, I don't even have the need to really like say too much. I think I'm just very influenced by this person because I worked with them for so long.
Like you were like an undergrad and you're made, like you graduate and then you become a research assistant. Like how do you get the job?
They advertised for it. So they had a large need for research assistants. And like, I'm a really quick read. Like I skimmed through material really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, that was important because the author professor writes a ton of emails. Like that's the main means of communication. And being vague enough here, and this is not negative, but I have to be careful because so much of our lives, we just like sign away our rights to actually have an opinion.
You know?
Yeah. But just in terms of like the influence, I think it was a really good fit for working with the author. Because I scan through emails so quickly and can just kind of not, it doesn't bother me if I get like five in a row, whereas I know like I've worked.
Good Lord, I would get overwhelmed with like five emails.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. See, for me, I'm saying like more than that. I'm like on the weekends sometimes, you know,
Jesus.
Like,
yeah.
I was able to just zip through it. And then I worked with the author for so long. I don't even want to give pronouns for so long that I just got used to the style. And I knew the main theme. So there was a period of like 10 years, like 2 years during undergraduate. And then I went to law school and I was kind of working freelance. And then after law school, you know, I was doing attorney work, but it was kind of like what, like I love arguing with people. That's why, I mean, you can argue in writing too, but the lawyer part fits me in that regard.
So why did you go to law school? Did you realize you couldn't get a job like being in English?
I weighed between MFA and law school. And I just ended up getting into, I didn't even end up applying to an MFA.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm kind of glad I didn't, because the kind of writing I'm interested in now is, there's a lot more freedom in not making it your career. Like, I can't imagine. Like, there's so, I don't know. Do you have an MFA? Did you go the?
No. I was always an undergrad because I dropped out in 2014. And then 2019, I went back. I take a class every now and then. But yeah. I don't have an MFA.
So the thing is, like, people I know get MFAs. It can be great if you're ready to network. And I think the phrase of like opening doors really does apply. Like you get connected.
If you get along with the people there. Yeah, you have to get along, and like your writing styles have to match up with theirs sometimes. If they don't like what you're writing, then like you become enemies, I guess. I don't know why like that's a thing where people like match up just because of the writing style. I don't know. I guess I can see why you would like someone if you wrote similar like them, you know, but then like some people, like they be, you become like the enemies if they disagree with like how you write. Like people get very passionate about, you know, what they think art should be.
Well, you're in workshops, right?
So yeah, exactly.
You're stuck with them.
Yeah,
I can imagine that. That would be, for me, like kind of hellish, you know, but at the same time, it like forces you, right, to the, like, yeah, the next step.
Which... And then a lot of these people, they like, I've heard like Brandon Taylor, he was talking about like Iowa, like he used to tweet about it all the time when he was there. Like, they're not that smart always. Like, you think people going to MFAs are going to be like the height of like a fiction writer and like have these really well-read minds. Like, a lot of them apparently aren't as smart as you would think, I guess.
Well, or just maybe even creative, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's some people that I read, they're just like, well, like Kevin Bryce, right? Like, whoa, you know, it's like,
yeah, he's amazing.
I'm not gonna read anywhere else. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, learn that. You can't get that from an MFA.
Yeah, his storytelling, his ability to storytell is amazing.
And you might actually lose that if you go through an MFA program. Like, that might be kind of like, you know, not accepted. It's too, you know.
Yeah. I think you would do very well.
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah. I could see him teaching.
I don't think he's ever going. There's no way he's going through an MFA.
Yeah, I think we're in that group chat.
That group chat still around.
I left it when you left it, but I left it because like there were a million people in there.
Yeah, I kept adding people to mess with Theo.
And they're all like, a lot of people were in their early 20s. And I was like, yeah, this is like, I don't know you at all. Mm-hmm. And there's like, I'd say like 70% of you were like under 25. Like, they're just in a different stage. And like one-on-one, you can get along really well, but like in mass and like 100 people in a group chat, it's just, you know.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's chaotic.
I don't want to eavesdrop.
I got out of there. They keep trying to add me back to a group chat. I just leave automatically. I don't want to be a part of it. Not like anything against them, but I just can't handle it.
Like any group chat?
Yeah, I guess they ruin my experience. Like, I guess I am in some like small few group chats, but like ones that like don't interact at all, I prefer that. Because like, I think at some point we're writers and we like to be isolated. I need to be alone. I can't be around everyone all at once, all at the same time. I need my alone time, you know?
Yeah, it was just a very active chat. I never
Yeah, it was too much. It was too overwhelming.
Yeah, but it was nice to be invited. I felt that was great. But I think a smaller chat where you actually like have chit chat, like,
yeah, you know,
over a longer period of time. But like, I'm still kind of new to Twitter. Like, I really just joined Twitter. And like, I started this like literary magazine when I was going through. So this is like 3 years ago. I'm not very good with like the years. I think it was like 5 years ago. Wow. I joined writing Twitter. So that's like, so I was doing all this like research. I worked as an attorney. Mm-hmm. I did a range of like attorney work from like, I started off and doing like litigation, defending the government, contractors, which—
Wait, can you talk about that?
That's like morally ambiguous. If I don't mention the name of the firm, I can just say like a lot of the people I liked left within as soon as they could and like just left law. They got so burned out and jaded because like you're paid a lot of money like as a litigator. And I was not even in court because I was like a baby attorney at that point, first year out of law school. But it's like you're a Brockovich. Like one of the cases I was working on was almost, it's like pollution in like South America that our country had done. And our client at the time was the government. And you don't know which law firm I'm talking about, so I can say that. But like, and I don't think I signed an NDA. Like NDAs are more common now. Like they're too common.
I mean, if it's your job to defend the government, like that's your job, you have to do that.
Yeah, but like, then you can like leave. So I did other work too, like working in like, I moved to Chicago, I had family there And I defended, I did like defense work and eviction courts, which is where, like, that makes you feel good. You're helping people who are going through a tough time, getting them some extra time and like reducing all these outrageous fees that are like levied against them.
Were you ever on the other side?
No, that's a tough one. Like, I think that's almost worse than being government, defending the government contractors who are polluting in South America, because I mean, these are like people that you're seeing face to face, like mothers with like small children that you're literally kicking out and evicting in like the winter, you know, in Chicago winter. Like, you have to be really
hardcore, like dead inside or something.
Yeah. And I think like writers tend to be, a lot of writers I like are probably like neuroatypical, but a lot of lawyers are prone to depression. And it could be
For real?
Yes, it's like a real and substance abuse. And part of it's just like what you have to do. You have to be like this like morally neutral person, but you're still a human. Like, you know, and like people want you to be human. So it's tricky. So like those are kind of like just like stories along the way.
Now, would you ever write about this? Like use a character?
I might, you know, I think I've just been kind of reading so much, and I'm ready to kind of, so like I'm a cancer survivor. So like,
whoa.
Yeah. Like at a, you know, relatively young age, and
when did you get it?
It was breast cancer, and like, yeah, I'm in remission, and like, I didn't, I chose to not do surgery. I did chemo, but I didn't do surgery and radiation. So I was like, we'll see.
Like, why'd you do that?
I was like, the type it was, like, I kind of like talked to different doctors, but it was like really intense. And so I think I just like was like on Twitter, honestly, the last like 5 years, just as like a creative space and a place to argue with people that it's not gonna, you know, and a place to like not have to like confront that challenge. And like cancer is so common, unfortunately, at this point, that I would just say don't believe the numbers. Like, you know, if anyone ever wants to talk about, I guess in my case, like breast cancer, they can reach out, you know, I'm always open to talking about it. But it's intense, because like we're pretty young, like under 50, usually aren't thinking about, you know, longevity. But
did you get it like in your 20s?
I got it in my late 30s. Like, supposedly, like if you make it through like the first few years and it doesn't come back, then you're like set for life. Honestly, like I tolerate everything really well, but it's still kind of like, I think I had to adjust and like make longer term goals. And I'm sure other people have that experience who have any kind of like illness or even addiction, probably, right? Like, you have different time frames for yourself. So that's like something I don't want to write about, but it's something I don't like. I think it's good for a podcast, maybe, because I kind of have some background as to maybe. I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm like a slow starter with the writing, you know. I don't know how you feel, but like, what's your writing schedule? Like, do you have a routine or?
I do not. I don't have anything published.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like with you. I'm like you. Like, now you're starting some stuff out, so maybe we're not so similar, but I kind of started this to talk to writers, even though I've been in the scene for like 10 years. I've never felt like my writing was like at a point where I wanted to send something out. What about you? What's your schedule?
You know, everyone, though. Like, that's like interesting. So you're like the Observer, because I haven't been to like the Observer, and I still am the Observer.
Yeah, right? That's why I wanted to have you on, because there's like similarities.
Yeah. And I think like I've been called like an e-girl or whatever.
Who
like,
called you an e-girl?
That's been thrown around.
Why? Just because you're, that's weird.
Well, because like any person who's, I mean, I don't know. That's been thrown around. But you think that's weird too. I think that's.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Okay.
I'm calling you an e-girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's. That's problematic.
Yeah. So like, we're both observers. So we're both kind of like watching.
Are you proud that you got over the cancer thing?
Yeah, and I had family support, but it was also just
Do you feel like a badass?
I mostly am just like, wow, like I have a lot more time like to do things like in general. It's a good feeling, but it's also like there's a gap. There are like some gaps here. But I think we've gaps for lots of different reasons. Like people have like other personal things. Mm-hmm. And with writing, you shouldn't have to feel like you have to be a certain place.
Oh yeah.
Certain time.
So are you still a lawyer?
I'm retired now. So.
Oh wow. So yeah. When you went to law school, where you saw, is it just common for people to burn out like that?
Yes, it's very common. And a lot of times, like people would go to like expensive law schools. Mm-hmm. And then after like a year or two, become photographers, like wedding photographers, like this happened, like, or like just stop working and if they were married, if they could. There's a really high burnout rate because like the law school experience, at least from my experience, is like very like intellectual. Like you're fighting for a cause usually. You might have different political views, but you have like principles that you're arguing from, and money is a motivator for a lot of people too. But the hours are just really long. Mm-hmm. There's like, if you go to the most competitive firms, you're putting in 100-hour weeks, you know, and that's maybe why there's a high rate of depression. And, but it's really long hours to make the money, and you're doing it for like a decade plus. So,
did you read any cool shit though?
I think I just mostly enjoyed, getting to apply what I knew. I got away from like the firm that defended the government contracts and ended up doing other work for like solo practitioners or for like nonprofits, and it mm-hmm. pays less, but it, you know, like you make that choice. Like,
what are you like reading at the time?
I was, but like, I can't think of what I was. Do you keep like a journal of what you read?
I have ADD so bad. I pick up a book and I put it down. I put another book. I put another one down.
So
what about you?
Do you
are
think
you like
poetry's a draw because of that? Because like I usually read poetry. That's kind of
yeah.
It's the ADD side, or just in general. Like if it can't be said in a short time period, like I feel like having a conversation is different. But when I'm reading, also like being online, like because you've been online a lot, right? Like. Mm-hmm. And that's like a whole different culture that I'm still learning more about. Because like Twitter is very different than any of the other platforms. Like I was on Facebook. And that's just your friends. And like
I got the hell off of there years ago. But how'd you find the alt-lit people?
Through the avant-garde people, like James Knight, like visual poetry, Laura Kerr. And then I found Expat Press, and then I found everyone else through that.
So what's visual poetry? Like, what's that?
Yeah, it's just, like, what is a poem? I think it's kind of, like, the eternal question is, what, like, could anything be a poem?
But, what is this visual poetry scene like? Were there beefs on there?
Yeah, it's in the UK, so I think the main beef they have, well, they have their own beefs, but like the scene I'm connected to there is like very left-wing, very outspokenly, they have solidarity. It's like mm-hmm. very uniform, kind of what you think of when you think of Avant-garde on the left. And they have a lot of readings in person. So it's like, and it's a very small scene. But
were you over there in the UK?
I wasn't, but you just meet people online, right?
Oh.
And poets are their own type too. I love poets, but it's very different. Like on the one hand, I think most poets are happy if you read them because mm-hmm. most people don't read at all. And very few people who do read poetry, let alone good poetry, which is what we're reading. But you know, like you have to be a certain kind of person to pick up like a poetry book from an independent press.
When you were in law school, did you meet anyone that also loved reading and writing?
I think most lawyers kind of have that background. They come from liberal arts.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. And then, you're just so busy in law school.
When you went up to judges, did you know like the judges well enough, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do very well.
I mostly got off on like motions and doing research. Yeah, I didn't actually like facilitate like a whole, you know, a trial. I never had to do that. And I never
would did. Would you be a judge?
At this point, I don't know if I'd pass like all the criteria. It's such a political process too, like who's appointed. But I don't know. I'm glad I did something different, but at this point, I think I'm just like, I'm really happy that you reached out. Mm-hmm. This like kind of motivated me to feel like legitimate, like legit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so curious. The law school thing and the lawyer thing like totally threw me off.
Yeah. And it's also just like kind of hard. Like, so you met, like, you went to readings in Tulsa. That's where you live.
We had one reading out with Kyle, and then I was like, the first reading I went to in like a few years, because like there's barely any readings around here. But what about Denver? Aren't there like readings down there?
There are, like, there's a Lighthouse Writers Workshop, so they bring people in, more like academics, but they have some good people. Like, they had like Leslie Jameson, who does more. I'm not sure which poets they've had recently. But like they haven't had anything from like Clash or, you know, like
you should host a reading. You should reach out to Clash.
Well, I was just thinking because Kyle Siebold was the reading you went to, right?
Yeah.
You should host a reading too. We should both be hosting readings.
Yeah, I should. I think I'm trying to host one in like 2 months. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, locally or
let's. But with August from Austin, Texas, and they're going to come up. We'll see if that goes well or not.
Oh, wow. So he's going to fly up to Tulsa?
I think he's drive.
Okay.
It's like an 8-hour drive.
He has like a great sense of humor online. Like he's just like generally like, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's optimistic. Yeah. He's very funny.
I have to pick up his collection sometime from Apocalypse Confidential, I think.
Yeah. I think so. It's the Red Star one. I should know it. He's gonna kill me for not knowing it. Well, because it's about the book. It's all poems about like alien visitations and stuff.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We're doing it right now, so all you have to do is just mention it, and you can like put a link.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
So, what are you writing right now? Like, wait. Before that, what literary magazine did you start that you had 5 years ago? What was it called?
It was called Constellation Magazine. And it was like while I was going through chemotherapy. And I didn't tell people, but I also was like trying to like give people stipends. And like, I ended up kind of bringing people on I didn't really know as like a team, because I thought that would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we'll work as a team, you know? And we did like diversity and inclusion, which was, I think, the norm back then.
Yeah.
We had lots of interesting conversations and our staff about what that means, you know, like what criteria, like how do you recruit for people and how do you represent and how do you, I don't know, do your best from whatever your own background is to allow people to feel comfortable.
How big was your staff?
Well, at one point it was like 5 or 6 people.
Okay.
And so one of them is still friends with me, and we kind of maintained a friendship. He's a poet. He's kind of he's doing spoken word events in Ireland now.
Whoa. But
other ones, it was like during the pandemic, I wasn't really open about what I was going through. So like people didn't really know. So they didn't really know how to give me like, and also just like.
Well, you don't have to tell people.
I also like identify as non-binary. Like I don't.
Okay.
It's like kind of central to me, and I don't care about my pronouns. I don't care, but there's something about like presenting as a woman, like women, like in leadership positions. Even though it's pretty common in the literary world, it's still a different experience. Like you don't really have a lot of background in it. Not that anyone does, mm-hmm. but I kind of feel like sometimes like there's like a higher standard, and I don't know anything about the Hobart thing or Elizabeth Ellen or anything. But just from what I've seen, she seems to get like a lot of critical feedback, maybe because she presents as a woman, you know, like, or she's identifies as a woman, you know.
Do you think
like,
she's non-binary or there?
I don't know. it's curious, like, she seems like very like queer friendly, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like my criteria. Like, how do I feel? Mm-hmm. But
well, I'm pissed off they're calling you an e-girl, you know, and you feel non-binary, you know?
Yeah. It's hard because, like, I never really cared. Like, it was like she, they pronouns. But I was out, but, and I, you know, I still am, but, like with the current climate, it's really rough on people with pronouns. Oh, yeah. And so I'm more like kind of being quiet.
Oh yeah.
So it's tough because like, what do pronouns really mean? Like everyone has pronouns. I always feel like that. I'm like, you know, but, like this is like, in terms of like, queer identity, this gets into really important things. And then also I think what I like about alt-lit is there's not this like, I was kind of, part of my magazine was connected to like safe lit spaces and own voices and the idea that you have to be a certain like background in order to have your characters, like any of your fictional characters, speak a certain way. And I think that's really dangerous. And one thing I like about kind of the people I'm around now, I think we have a lot of same mutuals online, is just there's a balance. Like, just because I identify one way doesn't mean my way of speaking or my tolerance. Like, I have a higher tolerance level for pronouns.
And do you think your magazine became too much like that?
It was attacked by SafeLit, and I didn't know how to handle it. You know,
but what's SafeLit?
I think of SafeLit as, should I name names? Lots of these magazines are gone. Like Prehappened, which is pretty much on hiatus eternally.
Is this a culture? Like a scene?
Okay Donkey is SafeLit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't tolerate, like, if you're white and use the N-word in a fictional piece, mm-hmm. even if it's meant to show the person's racist, mm-hmm. right? Even if it's intentionally done from... a good heart, I would say, and to make a point, mm-hmm. they won't publish stuff like that.
But so Unity did.
Like very extreme, like you would call it woke, right? If you're from the right.
Yeah.
Like super woke, right?
But, okay. And why did you get attacked?
I got attacked because I retweeted Expat Press. Oh. That's all I had to do. And there is like so much controversy. And it's funny because like in our circle, everyone's like, oh, this is a popular press, or they're doing well, and they are, and they have some great artists, but outside of this like algorithmic circle and parts in New York City, a lot of people have like a lot of negative views. And so it's kind of, I think it's maybe interesting how the algorithm works, because I'm connected to people who are positive on Expat Press, and I used to be connected to people who were negative on them.
Do you think they know they're part of SafeLit?
Those people who are part of SafeLit?
Yeah. Do they know it?
Or
do
they... I think some presses, it's also press by press. So like Sundress, Sundress Pub, I would consider SafeLit. It's kind of people who took on the Me Too cause, right? Mm-hmm. Which is now makes it sound diminished. I don't mean to diminish it, but it was kind of that movement, right? To kind of, it was all kind of combined. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like different presses have their own personality, you know what I mean? Like, and so there's some, I think Sundress now like still advocates in different ways, but it's it was a pandemic and everyone was online all the time, so like cancel, like tied to cancel culture.
Did you get canceled?
I ended up resigning because I didn't want to deal with it. It was just because I didn't know how.
They got you. Wow.
Yeah, they got me because.
Wow, you had breast cancer. That's fucked up.
They like, it was really bad.
Fuck
and
them.
I'm going to probably pause and just not go into the expat thing too much. I think it's part of my experience and it's part of how I got here. But just kind of like the idea I'm left with is like social algorithms. Like everyone's like, oh, this press is so great, so wonderful. But then over here in some other section of the literary community, people are like, well, I still don't want to get near that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe it's just a rumor. maybe it's not. I really don't have an axe to grind.
They're terrified of touching it and like having it affect them or some bullshit.
Yeah, like there's two extremes. And yeah. I think it would be great if we all had all the details about everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the time, so I made a choice. And my choice was, I didn't want to be a part of a community that thought you could cancel someone for retweeting, but that's actually still popular. So I guess I think of Safelit. I think of people who reach out.
You just retweeted an expat tweet and they like flipped out.
Yeah, they flipped out. They thought I had a personal relationship. They were trying to cancel expat at the time, okay. Which they couldn't have done. Like, I don't think you can cancel expat. There's like no point in trying. Mm-hmm. Criticize them. Like, they've been through it all.
Do you think they would have canceled you if you retweeted Misery Tourism?
Oh no. Well, they didn't like Misery Tourism either. Cause there was, did you hear the whole story about Misery Tourism and how they got on the wrong side of Safelit?
Was it with OK Donkey?
So William like defended someone who was getting canceled. It was like a young queer woman actually.
Oh.
And then she was like, I don't know if she was like suicidal or whatever, but he was like, no, we're going to back you. So this was like 5 years ago. Mr. Tourism like backed her, and then they got the heat from like all these angry people who were like Safelit. So
were you aware of Will and before then?
No, I went to the very first MLC.
Oh, cool.
And Will was there, and William was there. It was a great event.
Did the Safelit people know you were there?
And Will is an amazingly talented writer, you know.
Wait, were you canceled at that point?
What?
Were you canceled at that point? Or were you doing it secretly?
No, they didn't. They tried to cancel me. They actually like sent letters to They sent letters to the agency that gave me my law license.
What the fuck?
And said that my association.
Oh my god!
And I don't
god.
Know if we even have all this stuff. Like I have some of it, but it was basically they were just. People were just like, they want to fight fascism, right? And then they pick something that is somewhat in the somewhat sphere, right? Mm-hmm. And they just go after it and they don't question it.
That's insane.
It's groupthink. But this is kind of like the joke.
But that's like so far, like, that's just wrong. It's because you're in the small community of writing. And you don't agree with someone else's, so you're gonna look for where they work and send them that spot.
People used to do that and they still do that. But like wherever we're situated in.
Well, I understand if you're a fucking Nazi and you're like going out to Nazi marches and shit. I understand that, but like, fuck, like this small writing community, that's so dumb.
It was really over the top, but that at the time the press was doing really well. Like people wanted like published with me and like,
okay.
It was probably too much for me to handle in terms of workload at that point. So I think I kind of weighed it and I was like, okay. And I just kind of took the hit because I didn't really know my teammates. Like one thing I like about people I know now is they know each other for a while. You know, like they aren't just like random people because like the writing community is massive. There's tons of like randos out there, right? Who are just like, hey, buy my book, you know, let's name this.
Yeah.
You've no idea who they are. And I just kind of blindly went online and I happened to like algorithmically get connected to part of the community that was canceling people and they canceled another press. And I did know Stu Buck as well.
Wait, you what? Know?
I knew Stu Buck before Stu Buck left.
Oh, yeah? Were you friends with him?
Yeah, we were like, yeah, I would consider him a friend. I'm not sure what happened to him. He wasn't a very good way to leave.
This Constellations magazine, who was your favorite person that you published, though? Like, aside from getting canceled, like, did you have a good time? Like, was it a good experience?
I had a great time. We did get quote-unquote canceled, but yes. I had a great time. It was like, at the time, I don't think I realized it's just kind of the literary scene, right? Like,
or like, who was your favorite person that you put out?
I can't think right now, actually.
Were they all just shit, looking back?
There was, Then we had some good people.
Okay.
We were also paying people, so there was a lot of jealousy, and that's also.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it wasn't.
I thought paying people was supposed to be like this important thing to do.
Yeah. One second. I can't. Off. It's been a really long time since I've. We had like Elena Zhang. I can think mm-hmm. her. I'm pretty sure we published her, and she's really good.
So your partners, do they not talk to you anymore?
I didn't really know them very well. One of them took it personally, but we kind of just stopped talking. And she's busy. She's working on other things that are good things. I don't want to say anything negative about her. Like she's doing good work. And it's just kind of, it's a lot of pressure. Like I don't really know how magazines that regularly publish for so long, for like 10, 20 years,
yeah,
that are independently run, that's a lot of work. And you do get scandals. You know, like we didn't have anything, our scandal was a fake scandal, okay? Like it wasn't actually anything we did, but like sometimes people do things, you know? So.
Would you start a new magazine with the same people that you ran it with?
No, I would just do one person journal. Yeah. But like at this time, like a lot of them, like I really liked Swamp Lit for a long time. And then,
That's MD Wheatley.
It's a lot of work to do these, you know? So there's like new ones coming all the time. And I think people just love reading and they love sharing and love editing. And it's like it's a joy. It has to be a joy. But then as you grow and become more popular, then you become a target.
Did anyone defend you?
People did, but a lot of people were scared to say anything because they didn't want to get blacklisted.
Oh,
wow. I was new on the scene. I just came out of nowhere and I opened up a journal, and it maybe like in hindsight, I would interview people more carefully because it's not enough to just like books. Obviously, I think you have to have like similar like we're all. I thought liberal, but our philosophy on tolerance was maybe different. Like I was much more tolerant then, and now I don't know. I think I'm still working that out. Like, if you have an actual Nazi who's like a troll online, and like doing posting Nazi things,
I would not associate with that person.
Exactly. But how many degrees of separation would you go?
That's a good question.
That's the question. Okay, so that's where we are in 2025.
So your story, backstory is crazy.
I'm actually really glad we're talking because I feel like I'm kind of like have to do something this year.
Oh, really? What are you going to do?
I have to like send work out, you know, like it has to happen.
Go for it.
I'm not sure which journals, because there's some the journals I like to read, I feel like they're too high up. Yeah, those are like they're publishing like really like experienced published writers.
Do you have a book manuscript?
No. Do you?
No. So are you working on one?
Like notes, or do you have like what you're writing? Like,
I go into workshops that people offer.
Okay.
And then I work on things here and there.
I'll sit there and I like make notes throughout the day on my on my phone, on the notes app. And I'll
ask. That's what Dempsey does.
Yeah, I'll ask people. Like I asked, there's a really like I would say friendly, like talented writer, Noam Hessler, who I was like, wow, your poetry is amazing. Like, you know, and he gave me some tips about how he writes. And I think talking to more poets, even though I don't think I'm a poet, like what is poetry? You can write prose poems too.
Yeah.
But it just really helps to be like, wow, that's so amazing. And that's how you made it. Like, I wish every person I read and loved would just tell me like, hey, this is my process, you know? So
that's insane that you got canceled over a retweet. I don't want to like go back to this, but that's just crazy to me. Like your team would like stop talking to you because of a retweet. Like,
well,
that's crazy.
It comes back to like it's expat lore.
That's so insane, though. That's so stupid.
I know, but they couldn't understand why I would fight back. Like, why would I? Because, like, it was like, I'm a new magazine. I've been.
They wanted you to apologize or some shit?
Like, two issues. And they're like, this person, you know, did X, Y, Z. I don't want to repeat what they said, but they had some persuasive reasons to some people, right? There's a section of, like, the scene or just the writing community where, like, so one of the people I was working with, I kind of just Googled her like a long time ago, and she had her own, should I say, like, I'm kind of not give out names because I don't want to like make this person look bad, but she had her own journal as well that she'd started that was on a smaller scale, and she got canceled because she published someone, and then Safelit or whoever these people were at the time, this is like 5 years ago, said that so-and-so was abusive. And we're not talking like sexual assault. We're not talking abuses of power or coercion. I don't even know what this person did. Like, they got into an argument and hurt someone else's feelings kind of thing. And that's what was going on at the time. So I know, like, I'm considered woke by the right, but like, there was a more extreme version of like, we're misusing the term woke here too, which is really bad, but you know, there was like a really extreme version where they just canceled everything because they were all bad writers and they just wanted to cancel everyone.
That's true. Are those people still writing?
Most of them left. Like, one was Perhappened. Perhappened was like the biggest problem because they kind of took me as like their competitor, and they were very popular. So I
don't know. That's so weird though that they would be in the same community as you and then see you as like a competitor.
Oh, people are so competitive.
Yeah, but even in, I don't know, alt-lit, I do see competition in alt-lit, but I also see a lot of people just like Zach Smith, just like being like, oh, hey, let's hang out, you know? And like, he's like, cool, he'll come on the podcast, or even though like he could have a status about himself, but he doesn't. He's like very humble and down to earth. And doesn't see himself as a big deal, but he could be like a dick.
That's
about
what I'm choosing to hang around. You know, like, I don't actively follow certain people I like. I positive on Zach Smith. Most people are. But yeah, that's like our community. We've kind of self-selected, but it's taken me a while. And I'm also self-selected in that, like, I have spoken out about certain things. And sometimes it's like...
Like what?
Well, they're not things I would put on a podcast. But I have spoken out about like political issues associated with like being tolerant, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in general. And people either stay or leave, you know.
They freak out at you and like,
usually they don't. It's tough to say. Like, people talk shit all the time, but some people just let it go. Some people get really upset. You never really know.
So who are your favorite writers right now?
A Noam Hessler for poetry and Indie Lit. That's like one of my favorite poets to follow. And I'm looking forward to whatever other work they put out. I would also say like Graham Irving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Moon and Mouth. I don't know her. Like, I can't pronounce names very well. She is like so incredible. I'm like, she's someone who I feel like balances everything out with humor in her like posts. I still get overwhelmed, so sometimes.
Wait, did you unfollow Moon and Mouth because there's too much?
At one point I did, but she knows that, I think, and she
can
just
you can press the mute button.
Oh, yeah, Nate Dugan. That's
do you think he drinks a lot too much?
And Jail Murray.
Who?
Jail Murray. He's newer. He's been published a lot recently.
Do you think Duggan drinks too much?
I think it's a bit. I think it's a joke. Like, it's so like over the top. Like, if anyone takes it seriously, you know, I don't think that's like his person. I don't think that's a like representation of who he is as a person. I think it's a joke. But like, a lot of times, if you read their writing that's published, and then you also read, like, I've read some of other work at like Moo Moo House, and then you follow them as mutuals, it's a lot easier to catch humor in bits. Mm-hmm. You know, like I catch like a lot of people's bits a lot better now, but it was confused. It's confusing sometimes. Like there are times I'm like, no, it's so bad. And then I realize it's a joke, you know?
How much do you think Moon and Mouth should tweet?
I miss her tweeting as much. I think she's, what fascinates me is just kind of her background too, of like internet culture and like overall humor. So I'm looking for her collection out
What's your favorite tweet by her?
I don't know. Do you have a favorite tweet by your favorite mutuals?
I'd have to think about it.
I think my favorite mutuals are ones who I've unfollowed sometimes for, I get like overly, I'm hypersensitive sometimes to just cues or whatever, and then we somehow reconnect later. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you're a good mutual. This is a good thing.
What's your favorite Dempsey podcast?
I really liked Elizabeth Allen's podcast.
Yeah.
I felt like they had a good, healthy, like friendly rapport, and she was able to kind of open up more, you know? Mm-hmm. And I came away from that podcast liking her.
Oh.
So.
Do you relate to her?
Not at all. Yeah, I don't,
oh, for real?
I don't go to parties. I'm like very solitary. I see my family. I'm very like close to family. It's here in Denver. I have like my friends from law school and college. And then I just like hang out with people here, but mm-hmm. I'll do like trivia night or something, but I'm kind of like very strong introvert. I don't know. How about you? Like,
but yeah, the podcast is a way for me to connect with other people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great way to do so.
Thank you. You should start. I think you should start one.
I don't know. There's some stiff competition.
I think people would listen to it because you're a fan of everyone and you're an observer and you have like a lot of, you're very smart. You've been canceled. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did, well, did the person that we're not supposed to talk about with the NDA, like, did they say anything?
I actually told them about it and they thought it was really funny.
Okay.
And yeah, and that was it. So, okay. but. Yeah, I don't think I say anything negative about anyone that traced to their actual name. That's my main goal. I said I don't want to like spread negativity, but those were my top five favorite people at DeReed right now who are just kind of recent. And then
what's your favorite Graham Irvin poem?
He had one that went viral that was online
about
like,
weekends.
I think it was about drinking, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, it's like I want to kind of drink that kills me.
Exactly. It's that, that's my favorite poem. So mm-hmm.
That's cool.
His second book was really hard. I think I had like had a hard time connecting with it, but I for love real? Liver Mush so much that, and I love other printed works since outside of those two books. So overall, like definitely still a favorite.
Did you feel the gun one was too conservative?
I thought it was too conceptual and I guess I wasn't expecting that. Like I was looking for something a little more playful, like sense of humor, you know?
Thought it was too serious?
I'm not sure. It was just, I didn't connect with it at all.
Okay, that's okay.
I really, like everything else that I read of his, like books or writing is published, it's been amazing. So somehow like that one book, I don't know. It's tough, you know? Like you can't, not all of your fans are gonna like your writing.
What's your favorite thing by Cav?
Like I don't know Cav as a person, bro, as a writer.
Yeah, as a writer.
So insanely creative, like just so sensitive and like the humor like builds on itself. So just like very distinct, like you're not gonna mistake this person's writing for someone else's writing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you think Cav should write a novel?
Who?
Cav.
I want to read more of Cav's writing. Yeah. You know, like the jokes are, you know, fine online, but probably better things to do.
Would you join the back patio team on the account so you could start posting under their account? Okay.
No, I wouldn't want to. I am a fan, but I don't know. It's really hard. Like I think as an observer, and this is why I think I need to write more. when you're like observing almost 100% and not creating your own work, there's a tendency to be like, wow, like I'm a fan of this press or this put, and be like so like positive, but also like easily kind of like also like, oh no, they let me down, you know? And I think, I don't know if you feel that way, but it's like the fan mentality that you can have.
Yeah, it could become toxic positivity.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like at some point it becomes bullshit and you just got to focus on yourself and your own work.
Yeah, as long as it's real. Like
be inspired by someone, but like also work on your own stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on. This has been enlightening.
I think we're in a good spot of online learning.
I think a lot of people are going to listen to this.
I think so. I'm going to tell people I know about it as well. So I hope it gets like 100 is my goal. Like
100. That's a high goal.